You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, G.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, David.
How you doing?
Yes! It's a three-way dance this week.
So would that be a triple threat?
Yeah.
Well, according to WWE.
First pinfall or on-air swearing to a pin. Welcome, as always, to Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. I'm Richard.
Gene.
David.
Yeah. Yeah, we mixed it up a little bit this week because, much as we know you love us, we thought we'd bring a new expert voice into the picture. As always, thank you for tuning in. We are part of the OneOfUs.net network of podcasts. We really appreciate you guys tuning in to not just us, but to Highly Suspect Reviews, Digital Noise, pretty much everything. Don't forget, there's really easy ways to keep the site going. You can subscribe for as low as $2 a month, and that gives you access to all kinds of exclusive content. If you just look on, if you're on the website, just look on the right-hand side of the screen. You'll see the subscribe button. It's super easy, and it keeps the lights on and the batteries charged for all the recording. Anyway, that's all the housekeeping for the week. It's been busy, not least because of Gene, pointing at you. Second biggest pay-per-view event of the year. Come on.
Okay. There's so many events this past few weeks that
this year officially it's the third, because I will say that Wrestle Kingdom this year undoubtedly became the second
biggest show of the year.
Single show of the year after WrestleMania. It's taken a few years for New Japan to get there, but I think the hierarchy is now WrestleMania.
Wrestle Kingdom,
SummerSlam.
Hopefully we get to a year where some of the other pay-per-views become that big. I mean, not saying Bound for Glory is going to
I would love Bound for Glory to reach that point, but I
or Death Before Dishonor.
Yeah. What's CZW's? Let's go in a park and kill each other with streamers.
Or hell, I've been advocating this for a while. Lucha Underground, I think, should do one pay per view a year, whether it be Ultima Lucha or whether it be Aztec Warfare, their version of the Royal Rumble. I say just go for it. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a try. So, David, what do you think of SummerSlam this year?
Well,
and more importantly, what did you think of the whole weekend? Because we got to talk about
NXT Takeover as well.
Brooklyn 3.
I'll be honest. I was so disappointed with overall with the direction of how SummerSlam ended that I haven't watched, with the exception of one segment of Monday Night Raw, I have not watched any WWE content, any promotion across the board.
Honestly, that's reasonable.
I mean, what, 6.5 hours that you have to commit to just to watch these the big four pay-per-views now? 7 in the case of WrestleMania? It's too much.
You got
Takeover. It's definite burnout. Yeah. Burnout.
I think they're surprised that this is happening. Why would you be shocked? Why do they sit there and go like, why does nobody want to watch 205 Live? Okay, I've got your reason, because by the end of the week, I am exhausted. I do not want to watch another hour, particularly after I've sat through a honestly, who on this planet would want to sit through 2 hours of bad Jinder Mahal build-up and then go, you know what? Much as I love to see Grand Metalik versus
Lisa Dorado
or Tozawa or any of these guys, I'm just done. Particularly because if you're at a live event, you've already had dark matches beforehand,
and then SmackDown, and that it's too much. And honestly,
can we hinder Jinder already?
SmackDown
can we just do it?
Like, can we go back to 20?
Possibly the crowbar.
Can we go back to 2016 where SmackDown was the superior show? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember pre-Superstar Shake-Up? It was such a superior show to Raw.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know...
But it's everything, it's just, it's all kind of just, like, leveled out. And I think it's the creative team across the board.
Yeah, and the thing is, SmackDown, the executive producer there is Ryan Ward, former NXT executive producer, so it was in good hands. It seemed like right when that Superstar Shake-Up happened and a bunch of SmackDown lost a bunch of talent to Raw, it seemed like the creative has not been firing on all cylinders since that very point.
Well, I mean, and SummerSlam itself, looking back at it, and I'm going like, you know what? There's a lot of people here who are going to put on good matches together, but who cares? Yeah, I mean, because the whole point of WrestleMania and SummerSlam is it's matches you spent a year building up to, and you go, okay, why am I supposed to care about this?
Especially when you have title matches the week before the pay-per-view where championships change hands.
Yeah,
and then even the most of the good ones get rematches the night following anyway.
Yeah. And then lose the belt right back.
Exactly. Yeah. Neville versus Tozawa. Which is like
the, and that was all apparently a couple of sites reported. It was Vince just feeling that we needed to shake things up on that episode of Raw and we needed a title change.
And then they were just going to put the belt back on Neville anyway. And I'm like, Neville as a heel in the Hunt is great. Neville as a heel champion is great. Neville's just great. Let's be honest. So why not just have him,
dominating.
Why not just leave the belt on him for another week, put it on Tozawa.
At SummerSlam.
And then do it, and then...
You want title changes at your big shows. Not on random...
There are a lot of NXT fans that thought that he was... That the NXT people are being pushed to Raw way too quickly. There's not as much... They're not getting... They're getting... The minute they get any kind of instant pop, Vince is just wanting to yank them.
Well, I think that's true with some of them. Corbin is not ready for prime time.
No,
he's not getting any better.
No, he's not.
And the fact that John Cena just suitably destroys him, and the literal moment where he just turns and just goes, "This is nothing to do with you," which
with the fictitious magic shot.
Baron Corbin, he's got that shovel at the bottom of the pit, and he's pulling the dirt down on top of himself. I'm sorry, he's never been good. He's never going to be good. He is a mid-level TNA, and not Global Force. A mid-level TNA.
Wow.
He is an enforcer.
I put him at like Kane from 2 years ago.
Oh, that's harsh.
Wow. I mean, unmasked Kane. Yeah. Wow.
Harsh but fair. Harsh but fair.
Completely watered down. Still thinks he's the badass, but doesn't know how to speak.
The problem is they keep putting rocket packs on guys just because they're tall. They're going to keep having that cocky attitude.
Big cast.
you said it, not me, but yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you.
I mean, let's just go through this. The Miztourage beating the Hardy Boys and Jason Jordan.
In an empty arena.
Not in an empty arena match, just in an empty arena.
I read that it was, I don't know if there's any credence behind it, but that they actually didn't let people in until 10 minutes before that match started.
No, there was nobody in the, there was literally just nobody in the building.
Miz was pissed about that.
Neville versus Tozawa, but this was a rematch for something we'd seen on with the title change on SmackDown the week before. Usos versus The New Day. I mean, God bless them, but I mean, is there anything left to say with that feud?
It was a good match. I think the feud, it highlights the lack of depth in the tag division on SmackDown.
Which is astounding that they can't, I mean, there's 50 people you could put in there tomorrow in decent tag.
Hype bros, that they
mishandle the board villains so badly, sorry.
Hype bros, you can work into there. The Ascension can be fixed.
Oh, yeah.
They can be fixed. It's just they're choosing not to fix them.
The fact that the most over part of their tag team division is Breezango.
Who they don't put in any matches.
And also have clearly forgotten that there was a reason why they were doing the Fashion Police skits. And now they just do the Fashion Police skits to do the Fashion Police skits. Cena versus Corbin.
Can we just hold back on the whole Breezango thing? To me, they're just like a total callback to Edge and Christian.
They are, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think they're distinct enough. I mean, there are moments where I'm like, they're so clearly. But, I mean, the whole thing with Edge and Christian was that they were two guys who were lumped together because they didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah, because
they were two comedy guys, with a sense of humor. And honestly,
it's just they were not given the mic for the longest time. When they finally got mic time, they actually shined.
That's just it, though. Edge and Christian had presence when they're on. I don't see that at all with.
Tyler Breeze is as good as I get. The fact that we do not currently have a Tyler Breeze versus Neville match is the clear cruiserweight match for WrestleMania. Because there's no way that wouldn't tear
that
the
would
house.
Tear the
that
house
would be,
down.
That would be the match of the night. Fandango. The problem is that they stuck him with that gimmick.
Yeah, it's one of those gimmicks.
You go back and you look at creepy Johnny Curtis.
Yeah.
One of the does this rag smell of ether? You know, it was one of the all time great gimmicks, and they botched it by going, oh, we're going to make you the dancing guy. Because that was a weird point where Vince had this weird fascination with dancers and everybody was dancing. And it was like, why is he dancing?
Dancing with the Stars. Oh, yeah. They get ratings. Let's make somebody out of it.
Yeah,
and the thing is, 9 times out of 10, Vince doesn't even watch the program. He just hears from someone that this
is how...
He
goes by ratings.
Like the Paul Burchill push because Pirates of the Caribbean was big. Even though Vince never saw Pirates of the Caribbean. And Vince was like, what the hell is this? It's like... The pirate gimmick you asked us to give him. Oh, and then he just got buried.
Yeah, I think he probably expected him to turn up and go, this is my ship now, I am the captain. But, yeah, Natalya versus Naomi. Like, okay, fair enough.
Weren't they wanting to keep the belt on Naomi until Mania?
Yeah, that was weird.
That was...
You know, you gimmick the belt and then you... what's this? It's a title. No, it's a belt.
Belt.
Can't say belt.
Big Cass versus Big Show because they couldn't work out, because they clearly just wanted to keep the Cass Enzo feud going and didn't know what to do with it. And then all you end up doing is Show just looks like, you know, the world's biggest jobber yet again, and Cass ends up injured. Good. That worked out well for everybody, folks. What a marvelous resolution. Because what did you do? You had this big blow-off match, and what do? They have the same match again on Monday.
Again.
Great, that worked out.
It was a 10-minute killer. They could have killed this whole match and kept people's... and kept building anticipation for the main event. It would have helped the show flow better.
Randy Orton kills Rusev in 10 seconds for no good reason.
No good reason.
No good
did
reason.
Nothing for Rusev. And then Randy Orton has the nerve... to get on Twitter and respond to Rusev's... Rusev's been making some snarky comments via Twitter, and rumor is he's frustrated with his start-stop booking. And Orton basically stated, if I was in Rusev's place, I would have left too. Yeah. Well, you burying him on SummerSlam damn sure didn't help matters.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember hearing, like, a year ago that Vince wanted to keep Lana and dump Rusev, but she wouldn't stay without him.
There's a huge rumor that a lot of people are upset because they got married, and even further rumors that some of the higher-ups think that Lana's out of Rusev's league and he doesn't deserve her. Like, who the hell are they to make that kind of...
Particularly because, my God, Rusev... According to all the Bulgarian fans, is hilarious.
Oh, he is hilarious.
He is the best dry sense of humor.
Like I've heard him on podcasts and, hell, even on Southpaw Regional Wrestling, his character was freaking hilarious.
Oh, apparently we're getting more of that. We're getting Southpaw Season 2, and I'm okay with that.
Well, I thought Season 2 was already...
Did it already debut?
Yeah, they're working on Season 3, from what I understand.
Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss.
It was a good match. It's just their matches are starting to look the same.
Well, that's because we've had so many of them. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt.
this, in this match like, kind of pointed out the issue I have with the whole demon gimmick. If you're going to be the demon, your match needs to not look like the regular Finn Balor matches. You need to fight more aggressively, either more high-flying or less high-flying, more strong style or less. You just need to fight differently.
I think it's a little exceptional. I mean, to me, he looked at least a little bit more aggressive. It's hard to look aggressive next to Bray Wyatt because he moves so damn slow anyway.
Here's a question for you. How long is Finn Balor's contract?
Oh, crap. That's a good question.
Because if I were him, you know what I'd be doing at this moment? Going, you know what? How much would it shake things up if, come next Wrestle Kingdom, the Bullet Club's in disarray? And Prince Devitt comes back and go, you fucked up. You broke what I gave you. I am here to take back over. How much would that just destroy everything? Man. If he left... Because, I mean, you know...
That would take the roof off the Tokyo Dome.
The guys in the Bullet Club have all... Yeah, that it would give Ring of Honor their... You know, they'd be in the 20,000 capacity venue.
That would do it.
They would win the bet. Yeah, they've clearly, you know, that one injury, Seth Rollins, I'm sorry, Seth, injured people for a long period of time. You can't claim the guy puts that many people on the shelf and it's nothing to do with him.
Especially when these are moves that the person taking the move has no control over.
Yeah.
A running buckle bomb, you can't control. That's all on the person throwing you.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that it was continually running buckle bombs or running throwing power bombs.
Or high knee,
Same thing. That's supposed to be
a move to the solar plexus, not to the face.
And I love Seth Rollins. I think the guy's got so much upside. But to say that that none of this was his fault, you can't, you know, I'm sorry, if I run over five rabbits on a road, then it's not the rabbit's fault every time.
Right.
You know? Speaking of Seth, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose in the Will They, Won't They team up, defeating Cesaro and Sheamus
for the tag titles. My issue with the Shield since they broke up, and this is including Reigns, all three of them, I don't think have gotten over to the degree that the upper management wants.
Yeah, they are not as good as the sum of their parts.
Reigns. Because they're hell-bent on trying to make him the new Cena, the new baby face of the company, and they won't turn him heel. Rollins just doesn't have really a defined character. Puts on decent enough matches. Sometimes he needs to tone it down a bit, like because he goes back. a little crazy in the ring.
Yeah, he's a little too reckless.
It's because him as a baby face still, to me, is not working. He was a great heel. What are you? What is your character? Dean has a character. It's just not quite firing in all cylinders because it's like a PG version of Brian Pillman.
Here's the reason I think that his character isn't getting over as much as it could. There are too many crazy characters in... There are too many people playing that. I'm psycho. I'm crazy. I'll do anything. There are too many people playing that card right now. He's just one of a few...
Although I think he's changing at the moment because this latest run, he's very definitely, it's more kind of cunning Dean and him going, you know what, it isn't just that I like Seth, we are better together, we are more successful together, you know, we're a better tag team, and I think we're getting more of that coming through, and that's main event heel.
Yeah,
Dean Ambrose.
And I call this like 5 months ago.
It's John Moxley.
Yeah.
Just let him be John Moxley again. Just let him be an older, wiser, gnarlier John Moxley. And all your problems are solved.
Yeah.
But while we're talking about that, you know, while we're on the subject of Roman and what happened with Shield, the promo from
Raw.
The Raw promo. Okay. All on the count of three. Was it good or was it bad? One, two, three, good.
Split.
Ah! Okay. Newcomer goes first.
All right. I'm going to say it was... I enjoyed it for the same reason. It's one of the few promos that actually reminded me of my one of my favorite recent moments from WWE history, the CM Punk pipe bomb.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what it was. It was both of them trying to do the same speech at each other and commenting on what was going on in the back without really commenting on what's going on higher up.
Yeah.
I agree.
It was like somebody handed them blank sheets of paper and said, you talk about him, you talk about him, but you both got to talk about where your head is really at.
Yeah. I agree to a certain degree. I feel like it was still scripted.
Cena
knows how to take a shitty script and elevate it a little to make it feel like a shoot. Roman was trying to remember lines. If that was a full-on shoot, Roman wouldn't have been forgetting lines.
I kind of disagree with that, because here's when Roman tries to talk without being scripted, he stammers a lot. He's still completely green in front of the camera on the mic, even when he's talking in like interview segments where he's not reciting lines or trying to cut a promo. That's just who he is. And for him to get, and for Cena, who is so rapid fire, whether he's working off a script or not, yeah, his weakness. Roman's shortcomings are definitely going to come out.
There's no way it's called a promo. If you want to do this,
you got to learn
how to do it. That was shoot as hell. I actually think a lot of that, because what we saw the next day was that Roman Reigns was who they sent to ESPN to do the wrap-up. And I'm like, the guy is bad at this. And he's cocky as well. I mean, he literally was going like, he was saying like, well, as a locker room leader, and I can just feel like when he says shit like that, there's no, I'm sorry, Roman, you are not a locker room leader. You were suspended.
Yeah.
Who are you a leader to? You screwed up. You smoked weed on the road. Like, really? This is the dumbest thing you can possibly do. This is such a no-brainer, and you didn't think you were going to get caught. And it's one of the things that, like, this isn't like, are we testing for the side effects of nandrolone? This is like, dude, and yes, you came out, you apologized, and you did all the right things. But to think that you have ever come back to the same level as where you were before, and to think that you are going to, and whoever thought that he's going to get in there and go toe-to-toe with Cena, and what Cena said was what we all know. Not only that Reigns is being pushed into the position of being the guy,
yep,
but they want him to be the adorable, cuddly face of the company.
That's something I still don't get, because if Vince has this vision of Roman Reigns as a combination of The Rock and Cena, The Rock at one point was a heel.
Oh, I think he's even worse.
Why not turn him?
I think it's even worse than that. I think he sees him as a combination of Undertaker and Cena. And that is impossible.
Yeah.
You cannot, you can't...
Look, here's the issue. Here's the issue. This reminds me of when they tried to make Lex Express the new Hogan. It's like, yep, look.
Exactly.
Hulk Hogan was not like Bruno Sammartino. Can we agree?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Bruno could work.
Exactly. Bret Hart was nothing like Hulk Hogan. Shawn Michaels was nothing like Bret Hart. Stone Cold Steve Austin was nothing like Shawn Michaels. The Rock was nothing like Stone Cold Steve Austin. John Cena's not.
They had moments.
They didn't try to mold him to be him.
No, but.
And they're not trying to mold Cena to be Rock. That you can't, the every top guy of the company has been different than the very previous top guy of the company. And because they're trying to make Reigns the Cena instead of letting Reigns be the Reigns, you're always going to have this problem.
But I don't think he's ever going to be the,
I think he could have. I think at this point it may be too late. Had they turned him heel, matter of fact, at the Rumble when he won and the fans were booing and The Rock put his arm up and the fans were still booing, Roman should have flipped off the crowd, turned heel right then and there,
And the best thing that he could have done would have been to drop the Rock.
Yeah.
And that would have solidified everything.
He would have been able to turn babyface again by, what, the beginning of this year? Or even last year?
Yep.
But I think that his additional problem is, you know, that they want him to be either a straight babyface or a straight heel.
I think they could. I think if they played it right, they could still make him an Undertaker type character. Here's what they do. They pull him off. Only stick him in gimmick matches. Steel cages, four ways, triple threats. All the stuff that's dangerous, the stuff that Undertaker is famous for. And say, look, I can do it just as good as he can. And keep him off the mic. Don't let him talk, because it's obviously still a weakness.
But they sell too many t-shirts at house shows.
Put a scary angle on him. Give him Bray Wyatt's angle.
I don't know.
Not necessarily the same. I'm saying make him the scary Undertaker type dude.
I'm sorry.
It can still work.
Bray Wyatt, that's still a sore point for me. He's the one that honestly should have been the new Undertaker, and no one fears you when you lose all the time.
Yeah.
And Triple H, he was so protected by Triple H. I don't understand why. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Bray was really good on the mic. Bray's matches are not the greatest, but they're serviceable enough. The problem is, when he had multiple henchmen, he was still getting involved in the match and getting obliterated.
Yeah, well,
it should have been a 6-month quest to actually get a one-on-one with Bray. You have to go through all kinds of obstacles to get to him.
And then he still kills you.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and
that's how I would have booked him.
Let's be honest. I mean, the fact that SummerSlam, they couldn't find anything for Luke Harper to do. What is wrong with you people? And people say, oh, well, you know, the tag division is weak. Look, I mean, let's be honest. Rowan, God bless him. I love him at certain levels. I think he's actually got a lot of good stuff. I think they made him look like a complete chump with his singles run. Harper is as good as it gets.
Agreed.
He's actually really good on the mic. They never let him speak. He's hilarious. He is the hardest worker. And what did they do? They gave him so little to do that he just went off and shot Mohawk with my friend Ted Geoghegan. Hey, Ted! You're probably not listening to this, but Ted Geoghegan, one of the best rising horror directors and a really great PR guy. Yeah, we went off and did that, and it's like, you've got Luke Harper at the peak of his experience. You know, he's at that perfect intersection of, you know, between, like, the slots on your bump card dropping and your experience rising. Like, he's absolutely in that perfect position.
I think nothing with him. Now it's like, time to put the U.S. title on him.
Oh, let him talk.
Or put him on Raw, give him the IC belt, and let him get a huge push with that belt.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of the U.S. belt, Styles versus Owens.
How do I not care about a feud between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles? How?
Because
two of the best workers on the roster, two of my favorite wrestlers. Why do I not care about this feud anymore?
Because you've seen it so many times. Well, you've seen it so many times. You had the whole goofy Styles gets his leg caught in the table.
Yeah, there's been so many fucked finishes of so many of their pay-per-view matches.
Never recovered from that.
Yeah, well, I understand why they did that to keep the feud going. It's just...
Well, the fact that we're now clearly... They're using that to build to... I'm sorry, I don't need to see Owens versus Shane McMahon.
Shane getting involved... Like, firstly, Shane... I don't like guest referee stipulations. The referee's supposed to be an invisible party, which is... It takes a lot of skill to do that when you're in front of 10, 20,000 people and still be in... invisible non-factor in the match. Shane being in the match on top of it being a guest referee makes it stick out 20 times worse. I'm done with Shane being an active participant in matches. He's a great character.
Yeah.
I don't want him in the ring.
I think he's moved beyond that. I think the need to have Shane McMahon involved directly in a match, other than pulling strings, I don't think there's any need for it.
Well, and, you know, the great thing about Shane is he has proved that you can still do a white bread, smart, babyface GM, which they had forgotten how to do because they were so obsessed with
getting heat. All the company is about heel authority figures and building heat. which never pays off because the baby face never gets the gets the comeuppance.
Speaking of, oh my god,
am I on fire with predicting what the next match is going to be?
Oh my god,
should I play the lottery tonight?
How on earth do you get up in the morning and go, you know what? You know what needs to be the SmackDown main event for SummerSlam?
Sorry.
We've got, you know, some of the best wrestlers on the planet. You know what? Let's have Shinsuke job out to the Singh brothers. And just happen to have Jinder somewhere nearby. Because this is the okay. Booking 101. If you have stooges, the way for the stooges to look effective and for your actual heel to look like he knows what he's doing is that the stooges come in occasionally. Not
every single match.
Once in a while, you have to ring the bell when they interfere.
Yeah. Or sometimes you need the heel champ to do it on his own. Squash matches during the week or SmackDown or even on Superstars could help.
And you know what the most terrifying thing about this is?
What?
Because
that Jinder Mahal's our champion?
Well, that's not terrifying. That's just sad. That what they are clearly building to is that, well, you can't keep the Singhs out of a Punjabi prison because, you know, that
I can fit in between those bars, okay?
But Kevin Owens can fit between those bars. I don't mean big Kevin, not like current Kevin. I mean, like, you know,
did anybody see the masking tape actually come off the steel cage?
Oh yeah,
I thought it was me.
It got scary.
I fought for a good 30 seconds. Yeah. Hey, they actually built a bamboo. No, it's masking tape.
Oh, you don't want to build back. Oh god, the splinters. Yeah, to be everywhere. But the fact that, you know, they are clearly building to Nakamura versus Jinder for the title at Hell in a Cell. What ungodly thought process goes into that? That is just dumb. Like there's nothing. And speaking of dumb booking, okay, I'm sorry. I know you wanted this four way, folks, but you know,
can we go back to Jinder Mahal for a second?
Briefly, because it makes me sad.
I'm actually hoping that Vince, that the whole reason behind this is a marketing scheme.
It is.
For Vince to pull numbers for the network in India. Can we please, like, donate subscriptions to people in India?
Wait. Funny you should mention that. Guess what they get for free in India?
A Jinder Mahal
WWE pay-per-views.
Yep, they're all free.
They're all free. So basically, you're trying to market to people that A, don't have disposable
income
at all, one of the poorest per capita nations on the planet, and they get the product for free. They're not going to buy the network to watch Swerve or
Ride Along.
Ride Frickin', which may not even last another season.
Or Camp WWE.
Oh, Vince.
I think that's officially done. We have one season.
By the time those episodes air, half of that roster is gone.
Yeah, I can't believe someone talked Vince into the whole Jinder push. It's like, did Vince not sit down and do the numbers as far as, like, this? I understand social media numbers matter, but there are other factors that trump the social media numbers.
Yeah. Like making money.
Yes!
Vince has always been spend to get, and it's his balance has always been off.
Well, it seems to come back to bite him now. We have no more pyros at shows. What else have they cut cost on?
Can you imagine if they tried to push Kane without pyros?
What do you have left?
Oh, wait, you have black.
He has the most Muppet singing voice entrance music ever. It really is. But yeah, the main event. This was such a weird one because they clearly went, the rest of the card is, we really haven't tried. We have to put on something that people are going to go, in 5 years' time, go, remember that main event?
I was okay with it for the most part. Four monsters beating the living shit out of each other. We haven't had that in WWE in quite some time.
Not for a while.
Yeah, I was fine with it. I didn't like Samoa Joe got very little offense at all.
Even after Lesnar was ejected.
Right, this is the crazy thing. I mean, like, if you want to talk about a WrestleMania level main event that they have pissed away on an inessential pay-per-view, the fact that they didn't hold Joe versus Lesnar...
Until Mania?
Yeah, it shows how out of touch they are. Hell! That they didn't say... That they didn't realize... They thought, that's a throwaway match. It's like, no. Clearly...
Yeah, look at the build. Right. The crowd is excited for this. The ratings of those segments are way higher than everything else on the show.
Because you believe it. Because you... And not least, because you clearly look at it and go, Brock wants to be there. Brock wants to get in the ring with Joe. And I think the big problem they have now is that, you know, I don't think they should have left the belt on Brock. Or if they did, it should not have been clean. It should have been like some total misfire. And
it should have taken several F5s to put Joe away.
Yeah. Well, and it should have been like, really what it should have been done was
Paul Heyman had to interfere to keep the belt on.
Actually, the Brock's out, somebody else is about to get pinned, Joe, whoever it is. But only because Joe had to take a 2-on-1 beating from Strowman and Roman.
Yeah.
And then, somehow Brock comes in, kills them both because he's had time to recover and gets the pin on Joe. Or they feud with each other and, Brock spears them both and gets a quick pin on Joe. But there's ways to book it where they all looked great, and instead it's just like, it's still Brock is the unstoppable killer. Yeah. How do you solve a problem like Brock? And I think they've booked themselves into a point now where I don't know how you get out of the Brock Lesnar all killing champion.
I think you weed out two of those four people.
Well, the thing is,
set them on a different path.
I think they're doing that. Problem is, they're not saving those confrontations for big pay-per-views. Like, it's Joe Brock at Great Balls of Fire. And we, at No Mercy, we're getting Strowman and Brock and also Roman versus Cena. Why are you... Strowman, Brock should have been Survivor Series.
Yes.
Cena, Roman, save it for the Rumble. If you're not going to save it for Mania, because honestly, the Rumble and Survivor Series, outside of the Goldberg-Lesnar Part 1, Survivor Series doesn't get a lot of great one-on-one matches in recent years.
I still, to this day, don't understand why Survivor Series is one of the big four. I don't get it.
I think it's because of how long it's been running and...
Because it used to be one of the big four.
It was during the 80s, 90s,
right. Well,
or 90s, I'm sorry. Like,
it was the, because it basically it was just...
The Thanksgiving.
They needed one every quarter that was a big one. And now King of the Ring used to be a big deal as well.
That's true.
And King of the Ring has just lost its...
Because Vince doesn't like tournaments.
I would even be happy if they alternated Survivor Series with King of the Ring.
I'd love for them to bring King of the Ring.
Oh my gosh. Dude, with the work rate of the guys on the roster now with a King of the Ring style tournament.
And do one each for NXT, for 205.
Well, let's move briefly onto now we've waded through SummerSlam. we just had G1.
Oh my gosh, this was one of the best G1 tournaments. And that's saying a lot because last 3 or 4 years, they've been pretty damn good.
I think the Dave Meltzer starometer officially just broke down this time. It was like, you were just...
So many five-star matches that...
it just proves how good New Japan is at the moment. It is the...
They deserve to be the number two promotion on the planet.
It is arguably from just a pure... You look at the depth of the roster. This may be the greatest roster that has ever been assembled in the history of wrestling. I think there's a real argument to be made for
it. I wouldn't argue that. Yeah, I would not argue
because you can go down, you know, three levels deep into that roster, which you've never been able to. There's been times where you've had, you know, probably like stronger on main eventers. But even you look at something like the Attitude Era, once you get past the five guys at the top who are selling t-shirts, it is a rocket sled to hell.
Yeah.
Meet anyone? whereas here, you know, it's like,
Everyone on the New Japan roster fills a purpose. They fulfill a purpose. And the long-term booking is so spot on. Like, Gedo deserves an award for best booker of the decade.
Yeah.
It's just every feud, there's an intelligent build to everything. There's no throwaway matches in New Japan.
Yeah. And what do you think the end result?
I don't know. There's so much I want to discuss about the G1. Like, I mean, we're definitely getting the Okada Omega championship bout likely at Wrestle Kingdom again this year. And I think Omega's winning because we finally got that pin. God, it was so overwhelming. So many good matches, so many pushes, so many good pushes of guys that may not have been given that monster push. Tomohiro Ishii.
Oh, Ishii. Ishii looked like a god.
Yes. A Juice Robinson.
Yeah, your boy.
Oh my god, I loved every minute. I don't think there was one. Once we got past the obligatory tag matches in the beginning, as every New Japan show has to be slow build, so we start off with a bunch of throwaway tag matches. Once we got to the actual tournament stuff, I don't remember seeing a bad match outside of maybe the two Toriano matches.
Yeah, but even like Naito. Naito came out of this looking like a hero.
Yeah.
Naito came out of this like, if you want, you know, if I was them, what I would do is have him and Okada go at it, have him drop the belt, have Okada drop the belt to Naito.
There's a major
then
show.
Then have Okada take it back, and then move to the Omega.
Damn, I forgot.
But then Omega is so excited about, you know, he loves the US belt. I don't know whether he's in a super rush.
Well, there's two major shows coming up. One is isn't there another New Japan Ring of Honor
show? Yeah, there's they've got the Worlds of Honor.
And there's a major show in Hokkaido in October, November-ish. That's the last big show before Wrestle Kingdom.
I don't see Omega dropping the US belt for a while.
No, not at all. He's going to be their face of New Japan's face here in the States. I honestly think the next major show is going to be highlighted Zack Sabre Jr. and Tanahashi.
Yeah.
Because Tanahashi, I think this may be like the Cena farewell tour for him.
Yeah. While we're talking
tournaments, are we going to Lucha Underground?
Let's talk about Lucha Underground.
Because the Cueto Cup.
We have a triumvirate of
tournaments.
Okay. You know what? Before we do that, you gotta get it off your chest. I know it's been bubbling up for a week. Two words for you. Sexy star. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast at all, few things, bar maybe like the excessive price of sodas at house shows, get Gene more outraged than the continued push, nay career, of Sexy Star. Now, as you may have heard, recently, Sexy Star, in a four-way match, decided she was going to start shooting on everybody, and basically, Rosemary goes, okay, it's time for the finish. Here's my arm for the armbar.
Wait. This is the biggest... This is at Triple Mania. The biggest show of the year for the Mexican promotion, AAA. So, you have more eyes on this than you would normally have at a traditional AAA show.
And Sexy Star basically just tries to rip Rosemary's arm, shoot out of its socket. And initially, everybody thought that she'd broken her arm. I think it's just soft tissue damage, which is still not good. And then Sexy Star came up with multiple excuses. This is after AAA had already gone out of their way to screw over Taya Valkyrie and strip her of the belt so that they could put it on Sexy Star, who then goes in the ring, shoots on three of her opponents, and now is pretty much blackballed from the rest of the industry. Apart from, there's going to be still going to some rogue promotions, Roddy Booker. AAA is probably still going to book her because they seem to be trying to hide up what happened. But everybody knows what happened. She is unbookable. Now, the cardinal point behind this is that Gene has been going, wondering for months exactly how this woman has a career, and now he gets to do the la-la-la, told you so dance. Gene, over to you.
This piece of human garbage. I don't shoot on wrestlers like to this degree normally. I may have my issues with them, but I respect what they do in the ring. This quote performer quote, I don't know where to begin. A lot of people are saying this is a worked shoot, that this is potentially an angle. If this was an angle, GFW would be focusing on it. AAA would be bringing it up. It would be the focus of the news cycle right now. They are trying to sweep it under the rug, which lets me further believe this was a shoot. This, yeah. People say Roman Reigns gets an undeserved push or Randy Orton gets an undeserved push. No one in the modern era has gotten a more undeserved push than Sexy Star. She is boring as hell on the microphone. She is average at best in the ring. Yet AAA and Lucha Underground continue to force her down our throats. Why?
Is it Vampiro? Does Vampiro
look? It's either her connections or they think she has a look.
I don't know. It's baffling.
There's so many more women on the Lucha Underground roster that wrestle circles around her.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one place left for her to go.
CZW?
Playboy.
Or back to boxing, or
I don't know what on earth they think that like she her upside is. Anyway,
I'm glad she burned her bridge.
And here's the funny thing: you're saying that you don't think that there's one female performer I think that gets the undeserved push just as much as she does, and that's Sasha Banks.
Sasha can work. It's just.
I think it depends on who she's working with.
I think it's the bad booking of the main roster. Like the road agents don't seem to be doing their jobs well enough. When you have eight matches on a card and like five of them have the same type of finish, that happens at like five shows in a row. That lets me know the road agents are not doing their job.
That was an attitude era problem, as Brian Alvarez has pointed out. You can watch episodes of Raw from the Attitude Era, and every single one ends up with a run-in and an unprotected chair shot.
Oh, gosh. Bro. We all know who was writing during that era.
Bro. Puerto Cup.
Cueto Cup honestly saved Lucha Underground this season for me. I was done with that show first half of season 3. I washed my hands with the promotion. I gave it another chance when it came back. They announced the Cueto Cup. The tournament had some of the best matches of this year. If I had to make a list of top 25 matches of the year, there are quite a few from the Cueto Cup that may make my list.
Yeah.
I honestly, Killshot is now one of my favorite wrestlers on TV these days. I had a bit of an issue with the final match. It was Pentagon Dark versus Prince Puma. I like Ricochet a lot. He doesn't know how to do a slow build during his matches. He just goes straight for the crazy aerial stuff early on. So once you do that in the first 2 minutes of the match, there's nothing left.
No.
You know. And Pentagon, I don't know if he was winded. He just seemed out of it in this match. It was not his strongest performance. And for that to have been the finals of the match, of the Queto Cup, it was Rey Mysterio versus Johnny Mundo. It was a WWE style match for the championship, but it was definitely a top match of the year for me.
Yeah.
It was astounding that Mysterio, with all those knee surgeries, can still go the way he...
Well, I think he's probably, you know, he's doing so little work these days, he's probably not been in... this is probably the best shape he's been in 15 years.
Yeah. Well rested.
Exactly.
On the other hand, I don't think we've had any Match of the Year contenders yet out of the Mae Young Classic. There have been some good matches, but I mean, the problem is...
Has it started yet?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's sarcasm. That's what I'm saying. Has it started yet?
Well, we've had round one.
With Tessa Blanchard, Kairi Hojo.
That was good.
That was solid.
That was probably the best of the bunch.
I didn't see anything else that really stood out to me as far as amazing, like the UK tournament or the Cruiserweight Classic. I think there's a lot of competitors in the Women's Classic that are in developmental right now.
Oh, there are. I think half of them already come in with they've got their entrance, their official entrance music.
Yeah. What is the ultimate prize of winning the main?
Well, this
is. Is there a trophy?
There is a trophy, but there is a lot of contention that
have they shown the trophy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it a hand?
No.
Oh.
But you actually get hand.
Mark Henry presents it.
Yeah. But you know, you got a lot of theorizing that now that Asuka has dropped the belt. You know what? I'm going to say here. I am not convinced that her collarbone injury is 100% legit.
I don't think they should have stripped her of the belt. They should have treated her like Lesnar. She passed Goldberg's undefeated streak.
I think they are. I think that when she comes back from a little bit of time off, I think we are going to see her turn up on Raw and SmackDown for a series of weeks before she decides where she's going to go. I think they're going to play.
This is how I read this morning about them trying to negotiate with Rousey that could be a WrestleMania event,
which would be great. But I think my suspicion is that they painted themselves into a corner. They couldn't work out how on earth they get her to drop the belt because she's beaten everybody in such a way that it's not convincing that she loses to anybody else. The only way you could do it would be like, you know, a cheap pin, like, and I was like, that would be dumb. She would just come out and kill you. They put her in the, you know, that's the problem with her being the new Lesnar, is that she's slightly overbooked now. And I think they actually, their real problem was that she couldn't, you know, they didn't want to drop the belt, you know, 6 months, well, just NXT before WrestleMania, where they clearly were lining up to drop the belt to Ember Moon, but Ember Moon wasn't in that match.
I think they just put
her in that position. So I have a suspicion that this may be a work.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had the traditional thing of like, here she is at the hospital. Yeah. We always get that. If it's something like this, we just have she's dropping the bell, she's going to be going over to there. And I do wonder whether this is a work.
This is how I would have booked it. Kept the belt on her for a little bit longer. I don't get the whole stripping the person of the title before the 30 days are up. They strip it like the next week. That makes no sense to me.
No.
Give her 30 days. Let the tournament should have been aired, not to binge watch, but it should have been aired weekly, just like the Cruiserweight Classic was. At the finals, have her sitting there in the front row during the semifinal matches. I truly feel Kairi Hojo should be in the finals, and she should win. Not only does the winner get the cup, they also get an NXT Women's title match. Kairi Hojo versus Asuka. You have them beat the hell out of each other, fight to a draw. Have the basically when Asuka goes up to the main roster, have it where no woman could beat her. They had to go to Stardom, get a former arch nemesis of her to go to a war, blood and everything, and still she wasn't able to beat Asuka. The best she was able to do was fight her to a draw.
My only big problem is actually the match that you mentioned, which was Blanchard versus Hojo. I don't think that should have been a first week. Yeah, that shouldn't have been the first round match.
That should have been semifinal.
That's a semifinal match. Yes. I have no problem with them pushing Hojo over Blanchard, but Blanchard going out in the first round is a mistake.
Agreed.
She's too good.
She's too damn good.
Also, actually on that same episode, the Oh, the Brazilian black belt that they've.
I do not think she should have lost.
I think she should have gone out in the second round, particularly because the what's the face they had her up against? Brain fart. You know, her gimmick is now basically Debbie from Glow, which is, she was doing it before, and now it is. She is Debbie from Glow. That's really rather unfortunate. But yeah, I think the Mae Young Classic has the possibility to shape up pretty nicely. I think a lot of it is most of these are people who've never been in the ring together. They're not as it's not like 205 Live where most of these guys have worked together a lot on the indies. Just because it's, you know, still early days for going to a promotion and seeing more than one women's match, the number of matches these women have had is going to be smaller. They're really, you know, a lot of them are really, really, really good, but the odds of them having
a good
bumped
match
into each other somewhere on the indies is just much smaller because the booking opportunities have been smaller. And that's, you know, that's not their fault. That's just how the industry works, and the industry needs to change. Full
agreed.
Stop. And hopefully, you know, them being on this will up their, every booker for a small promotion will be able to say, hey, their prestige has been raised by being on this. You know, people are going to go, I've seen her on TV. Let's bring her up. Let's, awesome. You know, and she, you know, you're going to have two or three women's matches and an intergender matches.
That's something else that they could throw into Survivor Series to up it.
Yeah.
Agreed. Are we going to talk ROH or GFW? Well, GFW, only big news is that apparently Del Rio is set to come back. His suspension's just about up. So the next wave of tapings, likely he's going to be on. Yay, nay, eh.
Eh, who cares?
Wow!
So, let's be honest. GFW has a big uphill battle. It's and at the
still
moment,
still trying to beat back the bad stigma of TNA.
Well, at the moment, why would you? I mean, it's got one good thing.
Jim Cornette.
Well, it's got Jim Cornette. That's hopeful.
Yeah, McKinney.
Davey Richards getting the belt in Noah and going to be defending that. So that's a good relationship for them to have.
Exactly.
So you're basically in a position where you kind of got what New Japan and Ring of Honor are doing. You've got Global Force and Noah, and that could be really good for both.
Exactly.
I am more excited by Ring of Honor at the moment, but that's just me. Although the big crossover news there is, of course, now Red Dragon and
Adam Cole,
baby,
NXT,
who I saw on, I think it was his last indie match before he went to NXT. Him turning up and just him and Red Dragon just leveling Drew McIntyre, the new NXT champion. I'm like, and that's the thing, NXT makes me excited
about wrestling.
And I'm like, I want to see what happens next week with this. Whereas,
Raw and SmackDown. Like,
I mean, that's Global Force's problem, that people are still going to more want to go to Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
and they've still got their own like good talent base. EC3, who is, you know, I think just getting better and better
every day.
But yeah, so let's talk about talent and the annual accountability list.
That PWI, wonderful
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's annual 500. Which, you know, every year I think there's a little bit of an argument about, like, how close are they, you know, and there's always going to be like, oh, it's kind of really, and this year they were absolutely spot on in their number one.
Oh, Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah, Okada.
Was undefeated for the longest, has held the IWGP Heavyweight Championship belt for quite a while, has every match of his is at minimum 4.5 stars. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
And then AJ Styles, right?
AJ Styles.
Which I can't argue that. He held SmackDown down while Cena was gone.
Kevin Owens.
Three is a bit high given if it was all just 2016, yes. 2017, not so much. Like, Kevin Owens' stock has not plummeted, but it's
time to prepare for the booing.
Number four, Roman Reigns.
How is he even on the list?
Kenny Omega at five. In what hellscape do you put? Do you put Roman Reigns above Kenny Omega?
I don't know what they're going by Because even if you're saying just merchandise sales, aren't Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks like trouncing everyone not named John Cena or Brock Lesnar?
Oh, they're outselling them now.
Wow. What gauge are they using to state that Roman Reigns is ahead of Kenny Omega?
If they're including like all the group merchandise where Roman is just a small picture in a group photo, maybe they're
even then. No, because then you got to include all the Bullet Club merch for the Young Bucks as well. And they're still ahead. Nakamura at 6.
Nakamura,
like, not this year.
As much as I loved his work in NXT and love his work in New Japan, I don't want to say he's phoning it in on the main roster, but
he's beat up.
Yeah,
he's beat all to hell.
He's not working the style of match that I know he typically does. But then number 7, we got Samoa Joe,
who should be way higher.
I can see him at number 4. I can see him at number 4, number 5.
I can see him switch in place with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, this year I'd put him above, you know, why is he lower than Kevin Owens?
Yeah,
and I
agree.
Love Owens. I'm a huge Owens fan. But if anybody in WWE has had a better year from where they're supposed to be to where they are, you know, this guy who came in and they dumped him, you know, they dumped his shot at Lesnar on a no-hope
pay-per-view. And
he came out and you're like...
Looked like a million bucks.
He's cut the best heel promos by far. His look at me. Look at me when I'm talking to you.
I think they relied way too much for way too long on his we'll just throw Owens and Zane in a match together. That'll kill
they milked that feud. That feud was one of their best feuds at one point. Now I just don't care. I really don't.
Number 8, Dean Ambrose. Really?
Why? I'm sorry.
Love Dean, but no.
Dean does not deserve to be on any top 10 lists this year, last year. And I was a huge proponent of him from 2012 to 2014, he was my guy. Since then, nah.
Bobby Roode, 9. Roode, I put in the... That's actually too bad. He's been so great on NXT.
So good on NXT. Those matches with that he's had with Roderick Strong have been stellar. And him arriving on SmackDown, him going babyface was a bit of a head-scratcher for me, but... I'll stay along for the ride. Miz, if this was, once again, this is like with Kevin Owens. If this was 2016 Miz, like from beginning of end till the end of 2016, yes. Yeah. Miz, most of 2017 has been
Okay. And particularly because I don't even need to go much deeper down into the list, just running through these. If you can honestly tell me that the Miz deserves his position over Neville, Naito, Cole, Christopher Daniels, who's had the best, he's had one of his best years.
I'll say Bobby Lashley, and his matches in TNA were
Kushida, Ospreay,
Johnny Mundo,
Zack Sabre, Eddie Edwards, the
first North American Triple Crown champion in Mexico.
And I'm sorry, you put Pete Dunne down at 29, and you got the Miz.
The UK champion that's been kicking ass,
who they've done nothing with. I mean, that's my real concern about the Mae Young Classic is that they've done nothing.
And Eddie Edwards, wasn't he TNA World Champion?
Yep.
Not too long ago.
Yep. You know. You look at that list and it's just like you just listed. You know, you are PWI.
Marty Scurll.
Cesaro down at 54.
Good God.
Ronnie
the Strowman. Like, he's not one of my favorite guys, but he damn sure should be in the top 15.
At least top 20.
Goto down at 63.
Ricochet. Good gosh, man.
Michael Elgin at 76, the best big man in the business.
Agreed.
Bar not. 76, bite me. This was a terrible...
Pentagon Dark, 65, what the fuck? Oh, my goodness.
I mean, the good news is, there's some good stuff. Dalton Castle down at 96. Mark Briscoe at 97.
That makes me... Keith Lee, 100? Keith Lee not being in at least the top 30? Yeah. Really?
Way too low. But they don't care about the indies, they don't care about those guys, and he's only on Evolve. But, You know what? My wrath is spent.
Yeah.
My wrath is spent. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for coming to the show, Debbie. Really super appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
A genuine pleasure. We expect you back in the near future.
I look forward to it.
Well, as always, thank you so much for tuning in to Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. Don't forget, you can become a subscriber to oneofus.net. Costs a tiny, tiny amount. We're literally starting at $2. And you get access to all kinds of extra material, all kinds of exclusive shows, film soundtracks, film commentaries, everything that you could possibly imagine. But that's it for us, so...
Let's get our plugs in. Go ahead and start us off.
You can find me on Facebook, on SoundCloud, on YouTube, all under David Scott King.
You can find me on Twitter at Gene Selassie. Find me at oneofus.net under Smart Country. And also at thescrumsports.com.
And you can find me all over oneofus.net. You can find me at austinchronicle.com and in the weekly print edition of the Austin Chronicle. I've also got an upcoming article in Inked magazine, which you really will want to catch because it's kind of a doozy. You can also find me at rmwhitaker.com. And there is only one thing to say, and that is ding ding.
Good night.
Let's hear it for our subscribers. Why? Because you wouldn't be listening to anything at all here at oneofus.net without them. Sure, they get benefits like our commentary tracks from movies, our weekly movie and TV news and trailer review show, The Breakfast Pub, our podcast, The Original Gentleman, with Martin Thomas, Beau Paul, and myself, Christopher Cox, and lots more, including some nostalgia and never-before-heard-or-seen stuff from our old site, Spill.com. Oh, yes, and the recent video logs and Get to Know You're One of Us crew. Lots of fun to be had there. I could try to sell you on becoming a subscriber just based on all of that. But you know what the main reason is? Because all of this is only here because of them. Or because of you, if you know who you are. Please, become one of the us. Support oneofus.net and help out a fellow geek like yourself.